Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Talking to some of the best voices in Nashville. This is One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Also brought to you by
Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Bass Tire Company, Sam's Sports Place and Sports Grill, Holiday Inn Express Nashville Airport, Valentino's Restaurante, and Sir Speedy of Music City.
One-on-One with Greg Pogue. Broadcasting live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Now, here's Greg Pogue.
Well, no Greg Pogue today as he's got MTSU women's basketball duties. Chase McCabe in for him. Welcome into One-on-One live from Roy's Meat Service here in East Nashville, presented by Freeman Webb. And excited to have our friend Jake Lyman from Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game, weekdays from 9 to noon, and also the voice of Vanderbilt women's basketball. What's up, Jake?
What's going on, Chase? Glad to be on.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this. So we have fun on a Saturday morning, like pull up, have some coffee, and just kind of, it's a little bit of a this is your life kind of thing. But you have been one of the rising stars in Nashville media, and kind of tell us, this all started for you a couple of years ago when you were at Virginia Tech,
right?
And then you come to Vanderbilt. Call the women's games.
Yeah, it was really right place, right time. And I guess that's how a lot of things work in this industry.
Yeah.
And you know, right. You know the right people, and an opportunity opens up at the perfect time. And so it was funny, during COVID, I realized that sports might not be a thing in the fall of 2020. And for me, going to college, a lot of it was getting reps. And so I went to, at the time, one of my mentors, Andrew Allegretta, who was at Virginia Tech my freshman year. And I said, I might take a half semester in fall of 2020 and then add on an extra half semester at the end in the fall of 2022. And it's funny, he was a little bit skeptical of it, and he's like, man, I don't know if that's a good idea. Just so happened to work out, I was still in school, I was taking two classes fall of 2022, and who reaches out but Andrew Allegretta, who's now here at Vanderbilt, and says, I need a woman's basketball voice this year, could you finish school and come down out to Nashville and call the games this season? So it worked out that I was one of my classes was completely online, and so I took the job still in school at Virginia Tech, and it's all kind of taken off from there. But it was great that first year. I had to drive back to Blacksburg and take a final exam, and then drive to Johnson City, Tennessee, where Vanderbilt was playing ETSU that night, and call a game. But it was right place, right time. Andrew, I knew him from my freshman year at Virginia Tech, and he's now the voice of football and baseball here at Vanderbilt. And, you know, it's like you said, it's who you know sometimes, and they needed somebody, and it all worked out.
Well, and the cool part is stories like that don't happen a lot.
I mean,
that you walk out of college, walk across the stage, and you have a job in the SEC.
Right.
Which is really cool, and obviously you've earned it and do a great job. But do you have to pinch yourself sometimes? Like, you're sitting there watching one of the best teams in the country with a couple of the best players in the country play Tennessee and go, holy cow, I'm doing this.
No, it is one of those things where you have to remind yourself how lucky you are sometimes, because this isn't how it works out for a lot of people. I know a lot of people in this industry who you have to toil away and work at D3 schools or call 100 games of rookie league baseball before you get an opportunity like this. So I do have to realize how lucky I am to be in the SEC and working with a great program like Vanderbilt that's seen so much success over the past few years. It really is special, because you're right, it doesn't happen very often that before I even had my diploma, I was working in the SEC. And obviously Andrew Allegretta to credit for helping give me that opportunity. And it's been a really fun four seasons with Vanderbilt.
So when did you kind of make the decision that play-by-play was the direction you wanted to go?
early. When I was in middle school, I'm a big Detroit Tigers fan, and nice. So I had MLB TV, and this was when the Tigers had Verlander and Scherzer and Miguel Cabrera, and so I watched every game, and Mario Impemba was the voice of the Detroit Tigers on TV, and I realized I was, as most sports broadcasters do, you realize you're not athletic enough to play sports growing up.
I went through that, don't worry.
So I realized that might be the next best thing was to be a play-by-play broadcaster. And I didn't get much experience in it until college. I wrote for my school newspaper in high school, and then I was a writer at the beginning of college, but I always knew I wanted to get into play-by-play. So it was doing student radio. I did a lot of women's basketball in college, a lot of soccer and lacrosse, and then I got some opportunities on the ACC Network Extra, and it's just getting as many reps as you can. It may not be the most luxurious. I did summer league baseball for 3 seasons while I was in college, so you know, calling 75 games in 80 yep. days, 6-hour bus trips to Bismarck, North Dakota, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was something that I always knew I wanted to do. It took a little longer than I think a lot of people to start getting opportunities to do it, but once I did, I knew it was the right choice.
Jake Lyman is our guest this morning on One on One. So what was it like being in Blacksburg? You know, such a famed ACC yep. program, obviously. I guess you would have missed Beamer Ball, but...
Right. Yes.
But obviously there's a lot of pageantry there with the Hokies.
Right. So my parents, pretty much my entire family went to Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Both my parents, uncles, aunts, cousins.
So that was decided for you long ago.
So I grew up going to Virginia Tech games 4 fall weekends a year. That was our fall, was we'd go down to Blacksburg and we'd see Virginia Tech games. I actually really strongly considered going to Syracuse.
Okay.
Sports broadcasting, sports journalism, that yep. is the standard new house up there. And I visited, and I did like Syracuse, but then I went and visited Virginia Tech, and I met Bill Roth, who is the voice of their football program. He's a professor there as well. And he took me and my dad around all the facilities they had and the growing sports media program there. And so it wasn't a foregone conclusion I was going to go there, but after that and seeing that not only am I going to be able to stay home and go to Virginia Tech, they also have an emerging major and program that's going to help me reach my goals. So that was great. I love Blacksburg.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's somewhere I'd want to live long term. Like I have a lot of friends who still live there. I'm very happy living in Nashville. There's a lot more to do here. But I really enjoyed it for 4 years. You talk about the football program, obviously. Missed Beamer Ball by a few years. He retired in 2015. My freshman year was 2018.
Yep.
So we got one or two good Fuente years yep. with Tennessee Vols quarterback Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
Was actually, I was in a class with him my sophomore year.
Oh, really?
Year. Yeah.
Nice.
So had a couple of good years there, but yeah, obviously not as good on the field. We got Enter Sandman, which is, you know, that was always a reason to go to the games at the very least.
Well, it was funny when we'll obviously get to Next Man Up, but when we were talking about the show, and I'm like, what do you want as your theme song? And you're like, well, what about Enter Sandman? That kind of fits, and it does. Like, it's perfect because
right.
it's got the build up, and then obviously, you know, now it's on the video game, and you see that.
Right.
I have another buddy that went to Virginia Tech, and he's like, you got to go just to see that.
It lives up to the hype every time. Like,
yeah.
And that's what I tell everybody. It's like, I've jumped to Enter Sandman in Lane Stadium probably 50 times in my
yeah.
life, and every single time you get chills.
Yeah.
And the crowd singing a cappella after they bring the music down during the coin toss, it's the best. And when you asked me that, I was racking my brain. I'm like, what would be a good song? And I do try and distance myself a little bit from Virginia Tech, you know, working at Vanderbilt, right? Like, it's like I'm anchored down, black
yeah.
and gold. But I was like, it kind of does fit perfectly yeah. to have it be Enter Sandman, a little nod to Virginia Tech.
Well, and, you know, it's like there are these, I guess you could call them little things in college football or college sports, but they're big things
yeah.
in programs. Like, I went to Wisconsin for the first time this year.
Right.
Jump around in the fourth quarter is everything you thought it would be. And, like, you can feel Camp Randall shaking. And so, like, I walked outside, or we were in the booth for MTSU, and I'm looking at the guys going, like, holy moly.
Yeah.
Like, this is awesome. So it's things like that.
Right. And it's cool. I've gotten to experience Enter Sandman from a lot of different vantage points. Like, yeah. I've been in the student section, which is, I think that's the most fun. But I've also been up in the radio booth. I went back when Vanderbilt played at Virginia Tech this year, and yeah. I helped Andrew Allegretta out in the booth. And it's really cool to get that, because the booth at Virginia Tech is all the way up top, like yeah. way above the stadium, and you can just see the waves of people jumping. It's cool to be able to see that from a couple of different vantage points.
Do they do it for basketball?
Yes, they do it for every
okay.
sport.
Okay.
Every sport. Even you go to a women's soccer game, they will play Enter Sandman before the game starts.
That is awesome. How did that start? Because, I mean, it's a song that came out like 90, something like that.
So the story I've been told, and this was published because Metallica played at Lane Stadium this summer.
Yeah.
They did a live show at Lane Stadium. And a story was published that it was actually a game of rock, paper, scissors between two people in the like, Hokey Vision is what it's called.
Yeah.
They do the in-stadium experience. And they did rock, paper, scissors. The winner got to choose what song the team came out to in 1999. And they chose Enter Sandman. And
it stuck.
You know. Here we are now, 25 years later.
That is awesome. Jake Lyman is our guest this morning at Roy's Meat Service, here for one-on-one with Greg Polk. Chase McCabe in for Greg today. Coming up next, we'll talk about Next Man Up and how we got to that.
Yep.
And the fine show he does. We're live today here on 94.9 The Fan. One-on-one, Chase McCabe in for Greg Polk today at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville, presented by Freeman Webb. There's a familiar song for you. Chase McCabe alongside Jake Lyman, who is with us, host of Next Man Up, weekdays 9 to noon on 102.5 The Game, and also the voice of Vanderbilt women's basketball. So you and I got linked up probably, what, 3 years ago?
Yes. Yeah, it was right after my first season with Vanderbilt. So, yeah spring of 2023.
So Max Herz, who we all know that – is now with the Predators, was a part-timer with us, and Max keeps recommending people to me. There's you, there's Brandon Bigsby, who's back at the studio now, and we got another one that's about to start.
Yep.
And I was sitting with Ian Safar, our assistant program director, and he's like, where do these recommendations come from? I go, well, Max, and he's two for two right now, so let's keep it going. So he, you know, recommends you, you're looking for some part-time work, you come on, you're running random games,
a lot of sounds
working with Jeff, and then obviously knew you had the play-by-play stuff. Well, one day I Jeff calls me and goes, hey, just so you know, I gotta be out this weekend, but Jake's gonna call the game. And I'm like, well, who's producing the game? But I realized, like, okay, you're a man of many talents. And we started the weekend show,
yep.
Force Company, that was you and Nick Kieser and Nick Frazier and then eventually Connor Newt. And that's when kind of that part started.
Right.
And I remember sitting on a Saturday morning listening to you guys going, okay, this Lyman kid's got something. So how do we utilize that? And things, like you said, like we said to start this, it's right place, right time.
Yeah.
Things happen. All of a sudden, I needed a midday show or a mid-morning show, and that's how we came up with Next Man Up.
Yeah.
And I think it's been great for the last, you know, 6-7 months that you've been doing the show.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know if I ever expected to get into sports talk. Like yeah. we talked about, like, play-by-play has always kind of been the dream. But I remember the Saturday show was going on, but for some reason there was an opening, and I was like, I should maybe try and get my foot in the door here. And so I sent you an email and was just like, hey, I don't know if you're continuing the Saturday show, but I'd love to get some reps doing sports talk. I had done a podcast at Virginia Tech, but that was pretty much my most experience I had in more of the sit-down, non-play-by-play kind of stuff. And I grew up a Titans fan, just randomly, being from Northern Virginia. And so,
I'm sorry.
yeah. 6-year-old me having his favorite show be Teen Titans on Cartoon Network and that deciding my happiness on Sundays, not a great choice. But it just worked out that, like, it was kind of second nature. I talk to my dad all the time. He's like, who would have thought you'd be getting paid to talk the Titans instead of just talking my ear off about the Titans all the time? So it kind of worked out, and it was a natural fit, and I've really enjoyed doing it. I mean, and Next Man Up, it kind of keeps things fresh for us because I get to talk to different people every single day. So, you know, sometimes it's just me and Parker. Sometimes it's me or Nick and Connor. And then having Corey and TD on Wednesdays and Thursdays has been really fun to get their perspective, especially on the Titans with TD. People love hearing from him.
Well, and it's been fun for me, you know, to watch as a fellow broadcaster, but also as a program director, to kind of see how, you know, the show has a theme, but each day is a little bit different because of the whole concept of the next man or you know, up. And so that's kind of what we've developed there. And like you said, I mean, you got – and I've always been one of those that I want to pay it forward. And I think the only way you're going to get good at this is by doing it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, giving opportunities to not only you, but a Connor Newt, a Nick Frazier, you know, these guys that work behind the scenes.
Right.
That right now, people don't really necessarily know who they are, but they get their time, and Parker as well, and get their time to jump on, as well as established people like Corey and TD, I think has been a nice mix, and the audience seems to be responding to it as well.
Yeah, I think it is nice. Like you said, there's a different vibe to the show depending on what day it is. It's like Mondays, it's just me and Parker, and we can react to everything that happened over the weekend, and usually there's no shortage of things to talk about. And then you're right, like Nick and Connor, I think we have fun. There's the Force Company vibes to it that we used to have. And then with Corey, I think Corey has been I didn't know him very much until we started doing this. I love doing the show with Corey on Wednesday because we don't always agree on everything, but I think we have some spirited debates back and forth, and the conversation is always flowing with Corey, which has been great.
Yeah, it's funny. I do remember like telling you, like, hey, you know, Corey Curtis, he's been doing stuff with us for a while.
Yeah.
I'd love to give him an opportunity to do some stuff. And you were just like, okay, yeah, sure.
I was basically like, you tell me who is going to be on my show, I'll do it.
Right. And I did have that little bit of, okay, well, they don't know each other. I mean, there's obviously a little bit of an age gap, but it's worked.
Like,
it's been perfect. And, you know, I've done shows with Corey before, and he's opinionated. I mean, that's what that's the kind of the cool thing about him is, and I have this with Joe, of TV guys that sometimes you get the TV background where they're, you know, they're scripted and everything's got to be timed, and it's hard to give an opinion, and then you take those shackles off, and all of a sudden you realize, like, holy cow, they have that opinion.
Yeah, and it's been a learning experience, growing experience for me with him, because I think with some of the younger guys, Connor, Nick, Parker, it's like we agree on a lot of stuff, and it's more just like conversation.
Yeah.
Corey will push back on me a little bit, and I'll say something, and he'll push back, and it took me a couple of shows doing it with him to be like, to not like freeze and be like, oh, wow, he's coming after me on this argument. And I think once we've figured that out and gotten a good dynamic, I think it's been a lot of fun.
Well, and I think that's the best part about sports talk, and also the learning process. Like, I can remember doing shows with Willie Donick and Darren McFarland, D Mace, and then, you know, Big Joe. And especially early in my career, when I would say something and I'm thinking, like, man, this is a great point. This is awesome. Everybody's going to love it. And Darren would be like, what are you talking about? That's stupid. And it's not what he would say, but I mean, he would push back. And I'd be like, oh, now what do I do?
You know,
but that was those moments that I learned the most, because it's one thing to be prepped and to have, like, this is my position, but you got to be able to defend that position too. Or, you know, listen to somebody give their position and go, okay, well, you know, that does make sense. So maybe I have to change mine a little bit. And again, that comes with reps. Like, that's you don't just learn how to – I think there's some people that think, well, that's why you go to school and you sit in classes and learn that. And I'm like, no, I think you kind of have to do it.
Right. It is kind of trial by fire with it a little bit. And you're right. It's like you come in, you have these positions. And with some of the guest hosts, it's like I'll say my point and they'll be like, yeah, I agree with that. I'll add this to that. But yeah, with Corey, it's been like the one I'll always remember is we were going back and forth on Vanderbilt and Notre Dame and who deserved to be in the college football playoff. It ended up neither of them ended up getting in. But we went back and forth for like 10 or 15 minutes on it. And it was you're right. You can have the position and you can have all your reasonings, but you got to be able to back it up when somebody comes back and says, you're wrong and here's why.
Yeah. Well, and it's also fun when it gets heated a little bit, but not in, I mean, it's nothing personal, but there's been times Joe and I have like really gone at it and we'll get texts from people we know, like, are you guys good? Like, And we're like, yeah, we're fine.
No, it is funny how it works. It's like you'll go back and forth with somebody and disagree, but you throw it to break, you take the headsets off, and you're just kind of like, man, that was kind of fun.
That was good. Yeah. It's almost like wrestling to an extent. It's like you kind of know there's a little bit of the story to
right.
it, but at the same time, it's true. Like there's times we legitimately disagree.
Yeah.
And – like, I'll take the headset off and go, you know you're wrong, right? And he'll be like, you know you're wrong, right? You know, but that's how it is.
Yeah. So. No, it's great.
What was it like for you, whether it's the Saturday show or now, but, you know, you talk about that you didn't do a lot of sports talk, the first time you're having listenership interaction? Because I think, and I realized it, you know, early in my career, but I see that with young broadcasters of you think you're ready for that, but, like, with a guest – you control it. You know what the topic's going to be.
Yep.
With a caller or a texter,
yep.
they can take it anywhere. You never know where it's going to go. Trey, prime example. Like, you never know where.
Trey.
We love Trey. But you never know where certain callers are going to take it.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the newer things because, like I said, I did a podcast in college, but it's like we weren't taking live calls. We weren't taking live texts. You might see, I think we had like a YouTube chat for some of the live ones we did, so that yeah. was as close as I got. But, you know, it's a little different doing a niche Virginia Tech football podcast rather than being on live radio in a major market like Nashville. So it takes a little bit of time. You gotta be able to respond when you're right. You don't know where the audience is going to take it sometimes, and you'll get criticism on the text line too, and I think that takes a second to, like, you'll get a text saying, like, you guys suck. This show sucks. That
yeah.
that happened the first time you asked me, Frazier, and Connor to fill in on the afternoon show.
Yeah.
3 minutes in, we got a text saying, this show sucks. I'd rather listen to my children argue. And it's like, that stings you for a second, and you're like, man, you've got to get used to it and realize you're not going to be everybody's favorite flavor. Like, you've got to go out there. You got to do your thing. There's going to be criticism, but odds are it's more of a vocal minority who doesn't like you rather than everybody doesn't like listening to the show.
That's the thing. It's the people that, like, well, I'm going to hide behind I'm not picking on this person. They're entitled to their opinion, and there are some people that, you know, like the argumentative radio and
right.
the shock jock and the Stephen A's and, like, that kind. And there's times where it is entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, but then you got – and that's what I like about our lineup is – you know, if you want kind of a nuanced discussion, you know, you're going to get that really with DVD.
Right.
You know, Robbie and Rex Road are going to add some of that with a little bit of the back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, Rex Road will have some of his old man yells at clouds. You never know what you're going to get with me and Joe. I mean, I know that.
I love when you guys, I was listening when you guys were trying to name all the presidents. I was like, you just never know where this show's going to end up.
Well, and that's the thing. And to your point on, like, people like, what is this? We had a guy the other day that texted in, like, I thought this was a sports show. And I'm like, look, we're a life show.
Yeah,
sometimes
it is.
We're a guy show.
Right.
That's what we are. Joe likes to use the analogy, we're a cab ride. You get in the cab, you're talking to the cabbie, you got 3 hours with us. And who knows what we're going to talk about. I use the analogy, we're sitting at the bar, and you're just kind of shooting the you-know-what with your buddies.
Right.
And, you're going to talk a lot of sports, but there's going to be other stuff that comes up.
Yeah.
And that's where we mix in the mental health and all of that. And I feel like that's what it should be, but everyone should be authentic to who they are and how they want to do it.
Yeah, and I think it's taken me a little bit, too, of, like,
yeah.
I can get away from sports sometimes, and
yeah.
we can talk about other things. It's like, sometimes the tangents end up being the best conversations on
right.
the show and the things that people enjoy the most. So it does take a little bit to say, you know, I come in with this grid and this structured show. You have to allow yourself to get loose from that
yep.
a little bit at times.
He is Jake Lyman, host of Next Man Up, weekdays from 9 to noon on 102.5 The Game and the voice of Vanderbilt women's basketball. We'll talk a little bit more about them and their season coming up next here on One-on-One. Chase McCabe in for Greg Pogue today at Roy's Meat Service, presented by Freeman Webb on 94.9 The Fan. One-on-one, Chase McCabe in for Greg Pogue today alongside Jake Lyman, who you will be able to hear tomorrow starting at 12:45 right here on 94.9 The Fan as Vanderbilt takes on Tennessee, the Lady Vols,
yep.
up in Knoxville. Only meeting in the regular season between these two teams this year. And, Jake, it's going to be a good one, a tough environment to play in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the way that Vanderbilt's played as of late. I think you like their chances.
Yeah, I think you look at this matchup on paper and you say Vanderbilt's a top five team in the country. Outside of a slip up against Georgia 2 weeks ago, haven't lost in February. That's the only loss by two at the buzzer. And Tennessee's lost five straight games. So yep. It's like you look at it on paper and you say Vanderbilt's the better team. Vandy should win. Vandy has won one time in that building ever. So it's like you have to look and say that you still have to prove you can get it done in Food City Center, Thompson Bowling Arena, whatever they want to call it now. You got to go out there and win. It's a big game. If Vandy wants to be in contention for a one seed in the NCAA tournament, you need it. So I'm excited. Should be a fun environment. Should be a good game between two good teams.
You go back to that loss to Georgia. Knowing coaches, like I know coaches, they don't like that, but they also secretly may love that because that gives them some coaching opportunities. What happened there, and how did she use that to help kind of motivate them and be like, hey, we're not invincible.
You're right, and you want to learn from your wins, and it's like, but you have to fail. And Shea said this last week. If you're going to be successful in life, you have to fail a lot. And she was obviously not pleased with the way they played that day. Aubrey Galvin got into some foul trouble early, and they basically showed Michaela two or three defenders every time she touched the ball. So it was a tough game. Georgia came prepared. They're a good team. Like, Georgia's a top 25 team in the country. But you're right. You want to lose those games in February, not March. And I think you saw it pretty quickly of they lose that game by two, get the week off, and then you face Kentucky. And Kentucky's a really good team. They're a possible Sweet 16 team this year. And late game scenario, same thing where Vandy couldn't come through in Athens. They made the plays down the stretch to beat Kentucky. Got a big shot from Aubrey, took a foul to give, had one left, and were able to get the steal at the end to win the game. So I think you saw in real time Vanderbilt learning from what cost them at Georgia to win that game against Kentucky.
What is it like working with Shea Ralph? Because the few times I've interviewed her, I walk away going, that was fun. I could have done another hour. Like, she loves basketball, played at UConn, right?
Yes.
Played for Geno, and so she's talked about that and that history. It's got to be fun being able to work with her.
It is so much fun. She is you have to, again, talking about, you have to remind yourself things sometimes and, like, pinch yourself. She's a seven-time national champion. Like, she spent 4 years as a player under Gino Auriemma at UConn and 15 years as an assistant coach there. So I always feel like when I go to practice or shoot around, I'm getting a PhD in basketball from her and her husband, who's on staff, Tom Garrick. He played at Rhode Island, former NBA player as well. And just listening to them talk basketball, it's so much fun. And I use different things on the broadcast that I hear them say. It's like all the terminology of, you know, elevator screen, stagger screen, flare screen, all this stuff. It's like I hear them talk about it in the scout. I'm like, I'm going to use that on the broadcast tomorrow. So it's great. They have a vision for the program, and getting to see it blossom into, I think, everything they envisioned it would be has been really cool from year one, where year one I was here, their second year, had eight players on the team for most of the year, won 12 games. And now you're a top five team in the country 3 years later. It's been really cool.
It may be hard for you to answer this question because I know you've never worked with him, but how much of Gino Auriemma do you see? Because, I mean, there has to be things that, you know, she certainly got from him.
I think it's like anything when you have a boss or a mentor or whatever it is. You take certain things from them. I think there's also some things that he does that maybe she doesn't want to do. Like, it's those things that, like, she took the good that she liked from him and left maybe some of the other stuff. But you're right. Like, being in that program with that coach and all the success they had, you can tell that there's a lot of UConn in what Shea Ralph wants to build. But it's also her own thing. And I think she's enjoyed that of, yes, she brings a lot from UConn, but she's building her own program here at Vanderbilt.
I think also what's cool, she obviously knows those Tennessee teams that Pat Summitt put together. I mean, she saw it firsthand growing up around here. You know, that was a cool thing is like, you know, women, we've seen women's sports really get the spotlight, and they should. But I remember growing up here because of Pat that, you know, we watched it. We watched it all the time.
Yeah.
And those rivalries, like those games against UConn, that was, I mean, we hated UConn around here because of that. And But then, you know, as I've gotten into this and know people that know Coach Auriemma, like, you know, seeing him, like, I have a lot of respect for him. But I think it's probably cool for her to be a part of the rivalry now from the Vanderbilt side, having known that as a player.
Yeah, and the first couple of years, Vandy couldn't really get over the hump against Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was like that the games would be so close and so hard fought, but you'd come up just a little bit short. And last year, the game here, it looked like the same thing was going to happen. Vandy was up 9 heading to the fourth. Tennessee comes back, takes the lead with less than 10 seconds left, and then Vanderbilt gets the buzzer beater. Michaela Blake's the putback off the miss from Camille Pierre. And it felt like that was a huge sigh of relief. Like, you don't have to beat Tennessee to show growth as a program, but it felt like a good milestone of like, all right, we beat these guys, then beat them again in the SEC tournament in Greenville last year. So I think that was a big monkey off the back of like, all right, we got them, we beat them, now the rivalry can truly begin.
Yeah. Jake Lyman is with us. Now, as you know, as a professional broadcaster, you know, you realize that there are some names that are easier to pronounce than others. Number 15,
Jakalenga Mwenintanda.
That is amazing. That rolls off the tongue.
So it's a lot easier than it looks.
Yeah.
She was at Texas last year, so I got a little trial when we played them. It was like, all right. So when she transferred here, I was like, all right, I've already gone through a game with this. I'm good. But yes, on my charts, I will always write it phonetically. Like,
yeah.
I will take the pronunciation guide and put it right on my chart. That way, when I look down, Jakalenga Mwenintanda.
Jackalingham went into – yeah, see, you're right. It is easy. Well, and I don't know if you do this. I learned from Pete Weber that if there's a name, you go to the person and go, all right.
How do you want it to be said?
How do you
say it?
Yeah. You know, and they'll a lot of times help you. I'll never forget Martin Erat. We, for years, said Erat, and the, I think, Czech pronunciation is Erat. Is really what it is. And he's like, I don't care. I mean, say it however you want. And I remember us being like, it's your name.
Right.
We want to say it right.
That's I always am confused about players that they're like, oh, I don't care. You can say it however you want to say it.
Yeah.
Like, back to Virginia Tech, Tyrod Taylor. Everybody called him Tyrod for years. I mean, the iconic call when he beat Nebraska was, Tyrod did it, Mikey. And he comes out like 10 years into his NFL career. He's like, oh, it's actually Tyrod.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, why didn't you tell us that when you were 18 years old,
right,
and stepping into the national spotlight? But anyway.
Right. Well, I think Joe Theismann is like Theismann,
yeah,
or something like,
right,
that. But, you know, Theismann.
Rhymes with Heisman, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of how it is. But does everything pretty much run through Aubrey and Michaela?
Yeah, they're the engine.
Yeah.
But it's a super deep team. And you get different contributions from everybody. Like, Michaela's going to score 30 or 35 every night. That's basically what's been happening for the last month and a half, is she's going to get hers. She's going to score 30. But some nights it's Aubrey who scores 25 points. Other nights, Justine Passat hits 6 threes, and she scores 20. On Thursday, it was Sasha Washington. She had 17, 10, and 7. So it's been cool to see, yes, Michaela is number one, but depending on the night, depending on the matchup, any of the other secondary players on this team can step up and have a big night.
Who is someone that doesn't get talked about enough?
Ayanna Mitchell. She has been the first player off the bench. She's a 6'4 junior post player, and she's a different player from who she was the first 2 years. It's like you could see her growing the last two seasons, but she wasn't quite ready to play at the SEC level. This year, from the word go, when we went out to Paris and played Cal, she came out and was the best player on the floor that night, and had a double-double, scored 16 points, and I was like, wow, you could see year over year, she took a massive leap, and I don't think she gets enough of the attention that she deserves. She's been a huge part of why this team is so great.
Is it, I guess for other teams, scary might be the right word, but, I mean, this is a young team. Not only are they a talented team and a deep team, they're a young team. Blake's is a sophomore. Aubrey's a freshman.
Yep.
Those are two pieces that you can build around. And I understand we live in a transfer portal, different kind of world, but you're playing in the SEC in Nashville, Tennessee. I would think this is a good spot for you to be. So that's got to be something to look forward to, that you know that you can build off this.
Right. And Michaela, You got two more years with her, which is crazy to say. She might be the National Player of the Year. She should be the National Player of the Year this year, and she's only a sophomore. And Aubrey has taken the world by storm as a freshman. And guess what? You got another McDonald's All-American coming next year in Olivia Jones, who the coaching staff raves about her to me. They're like, you remember how Michaela came into our gym as a freshman and you couldn't take your eyes off her watching practice? Olivia Jones is going to do the same thing.
Yeah. So and you have those three plus the
– Right. And you're a top five team in the country now. I would guess there are some transfers out there who might want to come play with Aubrey Galvin and Michaela Blake. So I think that the success that you're having now is going to lead to more success down the road.
And it's fun to watch for sure. And, again, tomorrow the Commodores and the Lady Vols pregame coverage at 12:45 here on 94.9 The Fan. Jake will have that for you and the call from, I believe it's Food City Center at Thompson Bowling.
Yeah, something like that.
Is what they call it now. We will have more with Jake Lyman coming up next here on One-on-One live on 94.9 The Fan. One-on-One, Chase McCabe in for Greg Pogue today. He'll be back next week with Jake Lyman, who is the voice of Vanderbilt women's basketball and also the host of Next Man Up weekdays from 9 to noon on 102.5 The Game. I love asking this question. You're hosting a daily show. You're calling women's basketball and SEC games. What do you want to be when you grow up? Because I don't think we ever truly grow up.
Right. It's like you things can change. Like again, as I said earlier, I don't think I envisioned doing sports talk 3 years ago, and it's like here we are doing 3 hours every single day. So who knows where things are going to take me? I still think the dream is to be the voice of a team, whether that's college or pro. I think I like being on that side better than the one-off network stuff. Like I've done TV games for streaming for Vandy and when I was in college, and it's fun. But I really enjoy being around a team and getting to tell the story of a team throughout the season. And it's more fun that way. So I think eventually, you know, voice of a college football, men's basketball program or a pro team, I think that's still the dream.
Yeah. I mean, there's something about calling football games. It's just,
yeah,
especially college, you know, that's
the pageantry.
I've done high school. I've done a college women's basketball game. But, like, a college football game would just be so cool.
Yeah, and it's fun getting to be around Andrew when he does the games for Vanderbilt. He has me help out in the booth on Saturdays, and you get to really see what goes into all of those. I mean, he's got scripts of pregame and halftime and postgame and everything down to the minute and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just show up and throw a headset on, and I think it's been cool to learn that for when I hopefully am in that position myself, that I know what it takes to put on a good show.
Well, so it's interesting that you do that because I had one time I was talking to Bob Kessling, the longtime voice of the Vols. And I, you know, he asked me the same question. What do you want to do? What do you want to be? And play by play was really, at the top of my list for a long time too. I always had this dream that I would take over Monday Night Football and do the games with Peyton or something. And so I asked him, because he was telling a story that he would sit and watch John Ward and help John Ward and spot for John Ward.
Right.
And I remember being like, well, why? I mean, why didn't you want to do it? Why didn't you, like, try go somewhere else and, you know, instead of watching someone actually do it? And he said, well, okay, how old are you? And I think I was, like, 20-something at the time. And he goes, you know who John Ward is, right? And I said, yeah. I was like, I listened to him, you know, growing up.
Right.
He goes, okay. So do you think if you stood next to him, watched him do his work, and he was like, you watch George Plaster, right? You work with George Plaster.
Yep.
I go, yeah. Don't you think you're going to take something away from that? And I was like, well, that's a really good point. And he said, watch, listen. You don't have to always, I mean, doing it, yes. But he said that was so beneficial. And Mike Keith has told me that too. You know, watching people of do it their way, and then you take so much away. So I can only imagine, you know, you sit there and watch Andrew or Kevin or whoever, and you're going to take something away. The best part is you get to take that and see how they do it and then make it your own.
Right.
And like, I've had that with, you know, Willie and Darren and, you know, Joe and others throughout the years. And I mean, there's things you do that I'm like, well, hey, I should try that. You know, I mean, that's why the ones that stay in the business the longest are the ones that always keep listening and learning and evolving.
Yeah, I think it's just you're never too good to do that stuff. And it's like, yes. And I think when I was in college, I had to learn this of you do want to go and you want to put the headset on. You want to go call the games. But and that is valuable, of course. Getting all the reps and doing it, that's the only way to get better at it. But I feel like I have learned a ton just by helping Andrew out with whatever he needs in the booth. Like, that's my role on game days is basically if Andrew needs a highlight cut, I go cut the highlight. If he needs me to go bring a guest up to the booth, I go do that. But in return for that, I get to watch him do his work. And it's like, you're right. It's we talked about with Shea and Gino of like, you take things. And it's like when I am hopefully in that position, there's going to be a lot that I do take from Andrew Allegretta that I can use in my work.
Yeah. Well, like I probably said this to you, but, you know, some of our part-timers, like I used to do that job, and I hated it. I hated producing because I wanted to be on the other side.
Right.
But I realized, like, the first time I did it, my boss at the time was like, all right, you want to be on the air? I'm going to give you 6 a.m. Saturdays, and you do it. You get an hour. You do whatever you want. And, of course, I was like, well, what's on at 8? Nothing. But if you want it, you get your ass out of bed and you come in and you do your hour.
Right.
I was like, all right. So I stayed up and I had my whole plan and I had a grid and like I was prepped and I'm ready to go. And we had a part-timer at the time we called Captain Kurt, who worked Saturday and Sunday mornings. He had been in radio forever. He was an older guy. He was just bored on the weekends and just wanted to work, you know, Saturday and Sunday morning. So he was my producer. And he's like, how you feeling? I'm like, I'm good. Let's go. And I come in and I'm ready to rock. And Jeremy did something, my boss, that his boss had done to him the first time he went
on
the
air. Yeah, you told me this story.
He literally called 30 seconds before I was supposed to go on the air. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? He goes, hey, just so you know, 50,000 people are going to be listening. Don't screw it up. And hung up. I was like, what? And then the open hits. So I have everything prepped.
Right.
I blew it all in 10 minutes. Like, I realized how long an hour,
yes,
really 47 minutes is.
Right.
And like, I've had, you know, other people tell me that, too. And it's kind of like, okay, go to break. And Kurt's like, what are you going to talk about? And I'm like, I don't know. I just used everything. And I'd spent hours,
right,
you know, prepping. But that's when I realized how beneficial the producing part was, because I was like, oh, wait, I pulled this clip for this show. Let's go grab this, and I can talk about this.
Yep.
And, D-May said this. And so it was like you realize how much you have to change. Like you were talking about earlier, that you may have things on a grid that, okay, wait. I've organically moved into this. I'm going to get away from it.
Yep.
But I tell that story because people look at me like, oh, no. And then it happens to them. But that's how you learn. That's part of it.
No, it's great. And I agree with you. Being a producer has helped me a lot. And my first year doing Vandy Women's Basketball, it's like your producer would mess something up.
Yeah.
But you'd hear commercials or you wouldn't hear commercials or whatever it is. And I'm like, man, how do they screw this up? Like, this isn't that hard.
Right.
And then you go do it, and you're like, all right, I totally understand how this gets messed up. And it's nice, too, of if something's going wrong, because I've done it before, I can text them and say, check this. Is this wrong? Like, because I know what's going on, and that leads to less issues of us getting on the air.
Jake, this was fun. I mean, what's funny is I talked about how long an hour can be. Well, then when you get to this point, how short it can
be. Right. No, went by fast.
Flown by. Looking forward to tomorrow. Going to be a fun game up in Knoxville. Pregame coverage at 12:45 here on 94.9 The Fan. And we'll be listening Monday starting at 9 on 102.5 The Game.
I appreciate it, Chase. Thanks for having me on.
Jake Lyman, that is our guest, one-on-one, presented by Freeman Webb, live from Roy's Meat Service. Greg Pogue will be back in the driver's seat next week. Thanks to Brandon Bigsby on the ones and twos as well. We'll talk to you next time on 94.9 The Fan.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious.
Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.